Philippians chapter 2, and we'll be finishing up the chapter and kind of going into chapter 3 just a little bit, but we're really going to hit chapter 3 hard next week. And I'm just going to read the whole chapter, Christ crucified. And brethren, when I came to you, did I not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring you the testimony of God? For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God's revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But man, we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Here's a few things we've learned from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Number one, just in the first few verses, Paul knew how to get out of the way and let the Lord work. If you look in those first four verses, what does he say? Hey, when I came to you, I was in much trembling. I was fearful. When I came to you, my preaching was a demonstration of the Spirit of God. It was when Paul showed up on the scene, it was not about Paul trying to win the city of Corinth. It was about Paul just being a witness for Christ. He had the ability to simply get out of the way and allow the Lord to do what he wanted to do. Paul's heart towards things was very simple. Remember, he said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I care about knowing. And you know what? I have found that if I could just fasten my heart on just that one thing, it would help me out tremendously. Who's been distracted this week? Who's been a little bummed this week? I mean, just think of the things we get bummed out over. I mean, they're kind of, some of them are major. Okay, but the majority of the stuff I get bummed on are smaller than I am. It's minute. It means nothing. And if we could just fasten our hearts like Paul and says, hey, all I care about knowing is Jesus Christ and just Him crucified. In other words, my relationship with Jesus is just new and fascinating every day. And every time I look at Jesus Christ crucified, I'm blown away by God's grace and His majesty towards us. Oswald Chambers said this, the natural life of our ambitions alter as we develop. In the Christian life, though, the goal is given at the beginning. The beginning and the end are the same, our Lord Himself. Okay? What else have we learned? Not only did Paul know how to get out of the way, Paul preaches real wisdom, not the wisdom of man. What we learned about God's wisdom is this. It's not recognized by this age. You wonder why things are happening in this world the way they're happening. Guess what? They don't know the Lord for the majority of the part. When we look at things through what Christ has to say, when we look and have a biblical world view, when we look at what's going on in the Middle East, we don't freak out about it because we know things are turning out just as the Lord had planned. When we look at things and how they're taking place within our country, we don't wig out about it because we know, you know what, this is not necessarily our home. We're just to be salt and light here for a time, and then we're going to go home and be with the Lord. When we look at things changing, I get excited thinking about when Jesus is coming back. I get excited about that. To know that, you know what, my life is going to be forever different. It's not going to be like I've always known it to be in this fleshly body that's slowly wearing out day by day. One day the Lord's going to come back. So see, the wisdom Paul preaches, it's not recognized by this age. He says this in verses 6 to 11, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are maturing, and not the wisdom of the age, nor the rulers of the age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of glory, which none of the rulers this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the glory, Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered the heart of man the things which have prepared for those who love." You can just hear in Paul's writing, he's licking his lips when he thinks about heaven, when he thinks about his relationship with the Lord. I mean, you guys know what it's like when you're really, what's your favorite meal? Okay? When you get older like me, you really enjoy favorite meals. My favorite meal, when I think about it, if I know that I'm going to get it at the end of the day, I just think about it all day long. And I am excited about it. What's your favorite restaurant? I'm waiting. You don't know? You saw me looking at you. I really wasn't. But now I am because you said I don't know. But you just get excited. That's how Paul was. But God had revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man has known the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit. Number one, who are the mature? He's speaking of mature believers. And here's the question we had last week. How do we know we're mature believers? Not perfect, but mature. Here's one way. We see things through the way Jesus sees them. I want you to understand something right now. Those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Father is going to complete the work in you and in me. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 12 through 15. "Not that I've already obtained or I've already perfected, but I press on that I may hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but the one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind." Okay, you want to know if you're a mature believer? Man, stop hanging out back here. It's a waste of time. Every day is a new, fresh experience with our Lord Jesus Christ. I know, I almost fell. Okay? It would have been funny to see me roll out. Who are the rulers of this age that Paul's talking about? Those who are pulling the strings of the rulers of this age are Satan and his boys. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 12. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers and the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." When we see rulers, when we see things going on, we don't freak out about it. Okay, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities. And like I said, I wasn't going to go into this whole spiritual warfare thing last week, and I'm not going to do it this week, because I say if we fasten our heart on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, those things don't even really matter that much. Remember also, we know how the story ends. It ends in Jesus' victory. If these guys, these rulers that Paul is talking about, would have known what would have happened when Christ was crucified, they never would have done it. Okay, on the darkest day, what they didn't realize was Jesus was triumphing. Okay? The cross, when we look at it, we are looking at victory. If Satan and his boys would have known that, they never would have crucified Him. Right now, we have been given freedom in Christ because of the cross. It's victory. And that's something to get excited about, isn't it? Matter of fact, in Colossians 2, verse 14 through 15, it says, "Having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them." Paul preaches real wisdom, and real wisdom is Jesus Christ crucified. Paul does not preach the wisdom of man. There's no freedom in it. There's only fear. Because here's the whole situation that's going on in in Corinth, right? They're all wanting their intellect to be stimulated. They're tired of hearing, oh, Paul's just always talking about Christ crucified. We want something deeper. Paul's like, you're not going to get anything deeper than that. You're not going to get anything deeper than that. And so many times we get bored with it as well. We want a deeper Bible study. We want more of this and more of that. When we would just be blown away if we would fasten our hearts upon just Jesus and Him crucified, Scripture would come to light in a whole new way. It really would. You know, the one thing that we need to understand and remember is we have relationship. Relationship. We're not religious, we're relational. You know, we sing these songs about this wonderful God. It's relationship. Then finally, why did the rulers of this age miss it? Because remember, it came in a mystery, a sacred secret that could only be known by revelation, which was Jesus Christ's resurrection. It was the hidden wisdom that is now revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul preaches. The mystery now is seen so clearly. If you spend time in the Old Testament and really start tracking through that thing and start really studying it, you will see pictures of Jesus over and over and over again. When He was resurrected, okay, what happened in the temple, okay, when Jesus was crucified? What happened to the curtain? It was what? It's torn top to bottom, right? Access. Can you imagine what it was like for those priests? If there was someone hanging out in there, not necessarily they were in there, but all of a sudden, we're walking around in this place now. Everything you study the tabernacle, every aspect of the tabernacle points to Jesus Christ in some form, some fashion. It's been revealed. Okay, the mystery, it's no longer a mystery. Do you realize how blessed we are to be living on this side of this thing? Think about that for a moment. We're living on this side of it. We're living on the last days. We're living on the fact that Jesus Christ could come back at any moment, at any time. We're closer to it than Paul was. If you think about it. The wisdom Paul preaches, Jesus Christ crucified, is only known because of the Holy Spirit. And that's verses 9 through 11. God's wisdom and plan is past finding out on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. Paul's paraphrasing Isaiah 64:4. Now understand this. Most folks, when we read that, myself included, I think about the things of heaven. Yes, the things in heaven are going to be mind-blowing. But what Paul is preaching and what he's trying to get the hearts fastened to is Jesus Christ crucified. Okay, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Really, every day should be a new experience for the Lord to blow us away with His grace, His mercy, and His love. But Paul is talking about the now, and the now is Jesus Christ crucified, what has been revealed by the Holy Spirit, and what we have in Jesus. Anything that we have ever learned about Jesus is because the Holy Spirit has illuminated it and revealed it to us. One more little scripture, and then we're going to move on. Ephesians 3, verse 1 through 5. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard the dispensation of grace of God which is given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I briefly written, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which the other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and His prophets. Here's the point. Our eyes have been opened to this incredible gift that we have in Jesus Christ crucified. When we fasten our hearts there, we start to see things different really for the first time. We start to see people different for the first time. Do you realize that either folks are family members or they're potential family members? We see world events different for the first time. We see this country different for the first time. We see things radically different for the first time. Everything we need right now can be found in Jesus. And what Paul's trying to say is that's real wisdom, guys. D.L. Moody said this once, "It is not death at all, it is life." Someone said to a person dying, "Well, you're in the land of the living yet?" "No," he said, "I'm in the land of the dying yet, but I'm going to the land of the living. There they live and never die. This is the land of sin and death and tears, but up yonder they never die. It is perpetual life, it is unceasing joy." Now let's see where we're going this morning. What we're going to see is there's three types of folks. There's the natural, there's the spiritual, and there's the carnal. But before we get there, we need to know how we can receive this wisdom that Paul's talking about. And that's how he kind of finishes up 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll pick it up in verse 12. Now we've received not the Spirit. He's talking to believers. Okay, he's talking to those who are saved. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. This wisdom by the Spirit comes from God. It is the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of the world. Since every believer has received the Spirit who is from God, every believer has access into this incredible wisdom. You wonder why you may not be blind and see things radically different? It's because you've been saved. Do you remember what it was like before we were saved? Did anybody have real interest in what the Bible had to say? If you had your choice before you were saved, would you stay home on Sunday and slept? I would have. It's a day of rest. I want to stay home. But it's been radically altered since you got saved, right? You desire to meet together. You desire to be in fellowship. You desire to open your Bible. You desire to sing praises and to sing songs to the Lord. We have access. Every believer has access to this incredible wisdom, Christ crucified. Romans 8:15 through 17 says this: For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Okay, Daddy. An intimate term, Daddy. The creator of the universe is your dad. Think about that for a moment and let that blow you away. Who's from California? Okay, you guys, ocean, right? Okay? I've never been to the ocean. And you're laughing. You think that's weird. Okay? But I've never been to the ocean. But for you guys, that when you go, what is it about the ocean that blows you away? The smell? What else? It's big? What happens when a storm blows in? It's pretty fierce. It's pretty scary, right? I mean, here we just have tornadoes. Okay? We have had earthquakes recently, which is kind of weird in itself. But anyway, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? What about the last time that we went out and we looked at the stars? I mean, my point is this. Your dad. See, it'll just be nature. It'll just be nature. It'll just be nature. Unless all of a sudden, you know what? That's my dad. He created the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean. My dad calls out the stars by name. My dad says, my dad tilts the earth on its axis. My dad created the Milky Way. That we might know the things freely given to us by God. What an incredible gift. See, I don't want us to miss this. Because when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, it seems like either A, He's pushed aside as just a doctrinal statement, or B, sometimes He's made into something more than He's really not. I mean, a work of the Holy Spirit. When you know when it's a work of the Holy Spirit? People walk away with a clearer picture of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. What an incredible gift that we're saved. We have access to this incredible wisdom. When we see things going on in the Middle East, we're not freaking out about Israel getting pushed out. Israel is not getting pushed out according to what the Bible says. We don't care. We know how the story's going. Incredible wisdom we have. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 25 through 26. This is what He says. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things I've said to you. How many times has the Lord brought back a word to you when you've been in a situation? A Bible study. Maybe you heard something from a Bible study and you're going into it, you're making a decision, but then all of a sudden a word's brought back to you. How many times does that happen? That's access to that type of wisdom via the Holy Spirit. What an incredible gift we've been given. Verse 13, some more about this wisdom. These things we also speak, not in words, okay? Not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. remember, this wisdom is not just common sense. Okay, is it common sense? Is it common sense to have the Egyptian army on your tail? And the Lord says, okay, lift up your rod in the Red Sea. Is that common sense? No. Is that not kind of freaky a little bit? Is it common sense? Have you ever seen a river at flood stage? Okay, I can identify with that. A river at flood, that's kind of freaky. Would you really try to cross it? Especially if you're carrying this big, heavy box laid with gold on poles. Okay, in order for this thing to part, you have to get your feet wet first. Is that common sense? You know the rest of the story. You're laughing. You know what happened. This wisdom's out of this world, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Christians compare spiritual things with spiritual words. They use words and concepts taught by the Holy Spirit. A correct translation of this verse is this: explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. So how does this work? How does this work? Well, we open our Bibles. I know that if I want a word from the Lord, I go to Him in prayer and open my Bible. I need to hear what You have to say, Lord, because I don't really know what to do. Does anybody have any trials going on in their life? Please tell me you probably do. I know I do. It seems like every day. Listen to what James says. James 1, verse 2 through 6. Okay, now does this make sense? A trial is something that's kind of painful, right? Has anybody been through a trial in their life? Of course, that's life, right? Now does this make sense? Okay, you're going through a very painful set of circumstances. You don't know why you're going through these painful set of circumstances. And then some guy comes alongside you, pats you on the back and says, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Does that make sense? Is it really joyful? No, I'm thinking, who likes pain? Does anybody like pain? No, I don't like pain in any form or any fashion. But he comes along and he says, "Hey, you need to count this all joy when you fall into various trials." Really? Can I punch you in the face? Then he goes on saying, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Really? Don't ever pray for patience for me, or I will punch you in the face. No, I'm kidding. Anytime someone prays that, it freaks me out because I know I'm about to go through something. You're going to laugh until you have a toddler and you try to teach him to potty train. You'll be wanting all the patience you can have. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally without reproach, and it's given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by wind. In other words, count it all joy. The reason why we count it all joy is when the Lord chooses to put us in the crock pot and heat the thing up a little bit, He's doing a purifying work in our life. Okay? And guess what? We can ask Him. And He can give us some kind of clue into it. Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. I know this. Anytime that I've gone through a painful set of circumstances, just out of the blue, once I fashioned my heart upon the Father's heart, I may have not had the complete answer, but you know what? I had complete peace. And that's just as good for me. That's just as good for me. See, as Christians, we do not grow when everything is hunky-dory. We don't do that. We don't do that. Things have to be heated up a little bit for us to really grow and for us to really mature. See, but a spiritual, someone who has not been regenerated by the Holy Spirit will totally never get that, and they'll think that's the dumbest thing that they've ever heard. I know, right now you're embarrassed, and that's a trial because of that seed. Cassandra's laughing at you because she knows the inside joke that those seeds make that noise. And I have this reoccurring joke every week with that just that same thing, and I get the same laugh every time. Okay, I'm going to rock this joke until you stop laughing. I used to think I was funny till I got married, and I found out my jokes only have about a day's shelf life until they become annoying. Anyway, where was I at? To choose obedience, even though the obedience may be painful, for someone who is outside of Christ thinks that's incredibly stupid. Why would you do that? So basically what Paul's getting at is real wisdom is not common sense. This wisdom's out of this world, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Christians compare spiritual things with spiritual words, which is his word. They use words and concepts taught by the Holy Spirit. A correct translation of this verse is explain spiritual things to spiritual people. And we'll only receive that, man, if we've got the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So remember, I said that there was what? We're going to see three types of folks. The natural man. I think you've already clued in on who that person is. The spiritual man. And then the carnal man. We're just going to briefly look at it this week, and you're going to see why here in a minute. The natural man and the spiritual man, verse 14, verse 16. Remember, Paul is addressing division that's within this body in Corinth, and the division started over, well, I'm of so-and-so, and this is my guy, and all this other stuff. He's trying to fasten their hearts back on the central fact, no, it is about Jesus Christ, and it is about Him crucified. So who's the natural man? And why will he never receive this type of wisdom? Look at verse 15. Paul's just laid this incredible stuff down. And you know what? I'm thinking at this point in time, he's thinking some of these folks are not going to get this, and he's trying to get some of these folks saved so they're not so annoying. I'm kidding. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Have you ever heard someone who is not saved said, yeah, I've read the Bible. But are they really discerning of what's in the Bible? I've found that, you know what? Yeah, I've read the Bible. I read through the Bible every year. I found that, you know what? There's new things that I have not seen over and over and over again. I can remember one day, I'm reading my Bible at work, and my brother comes up to me and he goes, aren't you getting tired of that book? I was like, no, it's new every day. How can it be new every day? You read it every day. You've read through it. How can it be new every day? Because it is. It's living. It's alive. That's just dumb. Well, it depends. Depends if you're saved, right? The natural man will never receive this type of wisdom. Why? The Greek word for the natural man is materialist, meaning living as if there's nothing beyond the physical life. The natural man is where we all start in our unregenerated state. Okay, before we get saved, that's where we're living. That's why this book meant absolutely nothing. We haven't been regenerated yet. We haven't been saved. We hadn't received the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life. The unsaved man only lives in the temporal. The things of God are foolish to him. They are beyond his unregenerate state. And here's a picture of the natural man. If you want a clear picture of the natural man, listen to what Jesus said. The parable of the rich fool. We'll pick it up in Luke 12, verse 16 through 21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. In other words, you know, I'm going to take it easy. My ship has come in. It's easy street. I'm going to play golf, or I'm going to go bass fishing, or I'm going to go hunting, or whatever it is that he likes to do. And he said, and I say to myself, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and just be merry. How many times have you heard folks just say, I just want to be happy? It's always based on circumstances. Circumstances always change. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And then Jesus said, so he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You've heard this saying before, die young and leave a good-looking corpse. That's the natural man's view of things. Okay, it's temporal. It's temporal. And we don't want to be there. And I have to ask you, if this book really has no interest and makes no sense, I'm going to ask you very gently and very kindly, out of concern, are you saved? Okay, and the only reason I'm asking is, well, the Lord asked me to ask, okay? Does it not break our heart a little bit when we think of the natural man? Think about this just for a moment. You know those magazine racks that you see at Walmart? I mean, it's a great commentary on life, is it not? A lot of those young folks that have gotten rich and gotten famous, And at one time, the media portrayed them and they loved them. And now what do? They just make fun of them. They throw them away like they're trash. Is that not heartbreaking a little bit? That a lot of these folks totally gave themselves over to that stuff. Totally invested in it. Put all their hope in that stuff. And they've ended up with just a big goose egg. How many times have you heard of certain, let's just say, famous musicians who lost everything? Because football stars. And I mean, think of that. I'm not saying all those who have lost everything are not Christians. That's not what I'm saying. But, man, if you put all your eggs in this one basket, look what can happen. Does it not break our hearts a little bit when we think of the unsaved in their natural state and they don't know any better? They don't know any better. You know, right now my son, as far as potty training, he's really doing well, except for the other. And you use your imagination what the other is. Okay? I don't think I have to get too specific on that. And you know, I laugh about it. But man, if he was 15 years old and he was still there, it would be kind of heartbreaking, you know? Spiritual man. Seeing the natural man, the spiritual man, on the other hand, has a different view of things. Look at verse 15 and 16. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now, we're going to hear what Paul's saying here in a minute on this. For who's known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Verse 15, he that is spiritual is the one who has the Holy Spirit within him. He's a child of God. He that judges all things means he understands these things. In other words, these things, he understands what's in this Bible. The Holy Spirit is making it known to him, yet he himself is judged by no man. Not talking about being criticized. That's not what he's saying. Means that he is not understood by the natural man because the natural man does not understand divine truth. Does it bum you out just a little bit if you have unsafe friends and they think you're weird? Who likes to be thought of as weird? Yeah, could I be weird? No, I really don't. I don't like that much. But did you ever stop to think? They can't grasp it. They can't grasp it. The natural man does not understand divine truth. He really is lost, and it really should break our heart that he's lost. What bothered us more? Think about this, and the Lord asked this to me this morning. What bothers us more? To be considered weird by the world, okay, goofy by the world, or that the world is lost? What bothers us more? Man, it's so easy for us to get so focused inward, is it not? It is for me. And forget that, you know what, Lord, you put me here for salt. You put me here for light. You put me here to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if people think I'm a little weird, it doesn't matter. It's about your glory. It's about your honor. It's about your renown. It's about your name. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Guys, we have been so blessed if we're saved. We've been given our Lord Jesus Christ world view. We've been given the mind of Christ. Think about that just for a moment. Let that settle on our hearts for just a moment. That God in His grace and His care and in His mercy says, you know what? I desire you to see things the way I see things. I desire you, when you come against things and circumstances in your life that are kind of bummers, I want you to kind of get an eternal perspective on these things in your life. That I'm your dad, I'm your daddy, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to walk with you through these things. And in the end, they really are going to work for good. Because there's some things that are in your life, son or daughter, that you need to let go of, and unfortunately, this is the only way you're going to let go of them. If I had another way, we would do it another way. That person in your life that you're so bummed out about, don't you understand that I'm weeping for that person? I'm weeping for that person. Shouldn't you, son? Shouldn't you, daughter? Is it not just incredible to think? Is it not incredible to think when we read through the Psalms that God's given us His mind on things? When we read through the Gospel and we see the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not just a carpenter. He was not just a wise man. He was not just an incredible teacher. Man, that was the Son of God. And look how He's... What did Jesus say? If you see Me, you've seen the Father. The Bible is full of pictures. God wants to explain Himself so much to us. Guys, we've been given the mind of Christ. Listen to Matthew 16, verse 21 through 27. If we want to know what the mind of Christ looks like, well, let's look at Jesus. And from that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. And then you know the rest of the story, right? Then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him and said, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." That's the way the natural man looks at things. Peter's not saved at this point in time. "Far be it from you, Lord." But He turned and He said to Peter, "Get behind Me, Satan. You're offense to Me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it a man who gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, then He will reward each according to His work." Christ's view of things. To deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to ask you a question. Does any of that really sound appealing, to deny self and pick up a cross? It involves some pain, does it not? Who tried to deny themselves this morning? I did. I didn't really want to give in either. I was like, I can think of other things, Lord, this and that. He's like, you know what? Is it about you or is it about Me? There's always a choice. And you know what? When we think of denying ourselves, we usually think of it as the big, big thing. But do you realize it's the little moments throughout the day? Okay, I'm going to put this down. Lord, I'm going to spend some time with You. Okay, Lord, okay, I'm not going to get on Facebook and scroll down and be the Facebook ninja because I'm nosy and see what everybody else is doing. You laugh because everybody does that, right? I mean, that's the only reason I get on Facebook, really. I mean, I'm on there, but you don't really know. I've got the disabled. You don't even know I'm online. No, I'm kidding. I'm watching what You're doing. No, I'm kidding. Okay, okay, Lord, it'd be so much more fun right now to get on YouTube and see that kid get hit with a dodgeball. That's hilarious. That some kid's, you know, parents devastated because he'd been taken out, you know. Okay, I got to ring it back in because I've got all these images of these different things that are just dumb. Okay, I'm going to share this one story. Okay, I ride with a couple of guys who are from White Oak. Okay? And they're not much older than you guys. They're just right out of college. They're in their early 20s. And anyway, when they were in high school, okay, there was this big guy and this guy about my size, okay? And they were mouthing at each other in class, and so they decided they would set up a boxing match in the field house. Okay, without anybody knowing. So they filmed this thing and they put it on YouTube. Okay, this is like 5 or 6 years ago, and they wanted to show me, you know, going into work, and I'm like, okay, I'll see this thing. And so anyway, it shows us this guy. Okay, this guy's pretty big. Okay, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. And this other guy, he's not so big. Okay, and it shows them lining up and they're getting ready, and you can see the big guy's loading up. This kid comes up and takes a swing at him. He kind of pushes it away. And then this guy, now they got heavy gloves, okay? No one was hurt. But this guy loads up and catches this kid on the chin and knocks him down. Of course, then all these other kids are laughing and all this other stuff. And of course, then when I laughed as well, because I thought it was extremely funny, I don't even know what the point of that story was other than Facebook, YouTube, Ninja. The Lord says, stop looking at that stuff. Bring it back to what we were talking about. and spend time with me. Denying ourselves. Man, you get married, you're going to learn about denying yourself. And that's the truth. That is the truth. Honey, can you go get me a glass of water? You just get in bed. You know, at first you're like, oh yes, I'm Prince Charming. And then later on, oh no, I'm tired. I've had a hard day. Yeah. Denying yourself. We've been given the mind of Christ. The question is, if we're saved, are we going to say yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. Okay. The last group of folks. And like I said, we're just going to kind of summarize this, but we're going to go back and look at it more deeply next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. The last group of folks is the carnal group, which is what Paul's been working up to about the problems in Corinth. These guys were carnal. Let's read. And brethren, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, well, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Alan Redpath said this, a child of God born again is on his way to heaven, but some are traveling third class. That's a beautiful picture of what it means to be carnal. In the Greek, it means to be fleshly. And what Paul is saying here, it speaks of one who should do differently, but is not. Okay, he should do differently, but he is not. He's being ruled by his flesh. We are briefly going over this portion tomorrow, and next week we'll hit it deeper, and we're going to see why here in a minute. Verse 1. And we got to ask ourselves, are we traveling third class? Has anybody ever flown first class? Daniel and Tricia Spalled. No, I'm kidding. I've never traveled, not that I'm a world traveler anyway, I've never traveled first class. I've always, every time, it does not matter. The only time I fly is when I go out to the pastor's conference in California. Every time they stick me by the engine on the wing. I hate that. First one. How do we know if we're traveling third class? Are we still a babe in Christ? Are we still a babe in Christ? Have we not grown? Paul says, I could speak to you as spiritual people, but I can't. You're carnal. You're babes in Christ. You're still just... There's things that I will not be able to communicate to my son until he gets a little older. Can't communicate it to him. Because right now everything... No! Dude, you got your boots on the wrong foot. No! No! I can't communicate it right now. He's still just a babe. Can't do it. That's not... Kiko's, that's colors. No! Verse 2, are we traveling third class? Are we still on milk? Or have we moved on to meat? And really, you know what? I'm not talking about incredibly deep Bible studies. Okay? I'm not talking about being a professional Bible study person. When we talk about deep meat, in other words, there's something you do with the meat. There should be a transference in the feet. Okay? There should be a transference in the feet and the walk. It should radically do something different. Are we picking up our cross and following Jesus? Are we denying ourselves? Are we still on milk? Are we traveling third class? Verse 3 through 4 really describes our relationships if you think about it. Verse 3, with our brothers and sisters. For where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? What an horrible statement. What a horrible statement. Mere men. And so many times, you know, when we look in the mirror, that's what we think. Mere. When that's not what we are at all if we're in Christ. Man, we're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. Is this defined in our relationships? Envy and strife, divisions among you. You know when a body of people get together, a body of Christians get together, that is heartbreaking when that kind of stuff is going on. Well, so-and-so's got this and this and this. We're going to look at this next week, but let's ask ourselves, are we traveling third class? And then verse 4, our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning, is it about Jesus or is it about man? For one says, well, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Or are you not carnal? Remember what Paul said in chapter 1? Was Paul crucified for you? Relationships, are we traveling third class? Let's get with the Lord this week and find out if we're traveling third class. That's why we just briefly went over this. I can't answer that question. I can only answer it for myself and no one else. I'm not going to ask my wife if I'm traveling third class. She doesn't know the intents of my heart. She can see the reflection of my heart to some extent, but the Lord sees the full picture. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite verses, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me into everlasting, lead me in the way of everlasting. Who wants to travel through this short, brief time on this flight, on third class, when we... Tricia, how awesome is it traveling first class? It's pretty cool, is it not? Your legs are not up in your ears. You get to sprawl out. Did they bring a towel to put on your face if you want it? Did you get bumped with the cart? You don't get bumped with the cart. Are they dishing those stale peanuts on you? No, they're treating you right. Who wants to travel first class the rest of the way? I do. A few things to take home this morning. Number one, get this. We've been given an awesome gift in the Holy Spirit. What an incredible gift we've been given. John 14:26. But the Helper... You need some help? The Holy Spirit's there. The Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Number two, the natural man should break our heart because man, he's lost. All he can see is what's right in front of him, and understand this, all it amounts to is a TV dinner. Who's ate a TV dinner before? Few people. Are they really that good? No, they're kind of gross. Even, you know, I like Mexican food. I really do. But the Mexican food enchilada thing is really gross. That's all the natural man's doing is munching on TV dinners. That's it. Number three, the spiritual man has been given the mind of Christ. Christ's view of things. And Christ's view of things is what the Bible has to say about things. Christ's view. The carnal man, traveling third class, but he does not have to be back there next to the toilet. He can have so much more than that. He just does not realize it. Listen to Romans 8, verse 31 through 34. God's everlasting love. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivering it up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, He is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. We are so blessed. You know, really, out of those two, the natural guy and the carnal guy, our hearts really ought to break for the carnal. Because they should know better. They should know better. So let's ask ourselves this week, are we traveling third class? Now let's just get with the Lord. You know, I have found so many times, what we do is this. Lord, you're totally bummed out with me because of such and such. That is not the case. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That's not God's heart. It's not His heart. And we get with God, we're going to be blown away by His grace and by His mercy and by the fact that, you know what, I have so much more than what you're experiencing. I want you in first class. I don't want you back there by the toilet. I don't want you back there by the toilet. I don't want you back there by the toilet. I don't want you back there by the toilet. I don't want you back there by the toilet. I don't want you back there by the toilet.